Go ahead and play
pieces.
Show off.
Gosh, you need to talk to
me. Yeah.
Hey, this is Dawn.
And this is Lana.
And this is Natalie.
And this is Scott.
And you're listening to Screw It, a podcast about wine. Wine improves with age.
We improve with wine.
Mm. I like our theme. This is a weird one for us, Lana.
It is.
This is brand new. We've never done anything like this before.
Yep.
We are doing
White wines.
Because we figured everyone has their leftover Thanksgiving food, and you gotta drink white wine with your Thanksgiving food.
Well, and also other holidays coming up, and oftentimes you do have more turkey and poultry, and so white is a little more natural for most people, maybe not for us.
Not for us.
But it is for some of my family members as well. A lot of them don't like red wine, so...
Yeah. Surprise! You guys are on a white wine episode! Our first white wine episode!
Wow. I'm deeply honored.
As well you should be.
Okay, so we have two lovely guests with us this evening. We have Scott and his fiancée, Natalie. When are you guys getting married?
October 7th, 2017.
Ah! Oh my gosh, well, congratulations on your
wedding. Yes, thank you!
That's super lovely. Yeah. You both met because you do the music stuff, and I think that's really cool. How did you guys meet?
Well, technically we met in a band.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Actually, you tell this story a lot better.
Oh, do I?
Yeah.
Okay. on the spot. Well, you know, it's basically, we're both in a band called Orchestra Bezime, which is Bulgarian for band without a name. So we call ourselves OBI. So it's OBI for all the English speakers, basically. And I joined the band in 2009, but the band's been around since 2002, I believe, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and I was in the band for about...
Is this a fast story? Should we open up wine now?
We should open up...
This story's going on a long time,
and
we don't have wine yet.
Yeah.
I'll try to make it short.
Polite doesn't work for me.
So the short version is
we met in the band.
What a great story!
Thank you. That's why I'm looking at her with fear, like, you want me to tell the story now? It's going to take 5 minutes.
No, that's way too long.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first bottle of wine we have is, I think, Terrell's wine sounds great.
Ooh.
Old winery. It's called Semillon?
Semillon.
Semillon. I was like, I've never heard of this before.
So I bought it. It's in French.
Oh, good. Actually, it's from Australia.
No, but the wine, it's the grapes. Yeah. The variety.
Look at you know everything, Lana. Would you like to do the honors? Yeah, I actually just walked in the store and was like, I've never heard of this.
Okay, everybody, listen for the sound. Yep, it's a screw top.
It's a screw top.
Nice.
All right, let's pour this baby.
Go ahead.
All right.
Okay.
Shh. Our favorite sound in the world. The second one is usually even better because, you know, it's a bigger sound.
I'm a big fan of sound design, so I'm digging that.
You've got a bunch of musicians here, so that's super cool.
I'm waiting for the glug, 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 Eric.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's usually when sloshing over my face after the
Yes, I often just pour it directly into her mouth. We tend to not post those pictures on Facebook often. All right, so let's take a look at this. You know, I even wore a peridot to try to see if we had a comparison.
So it's a nice, it's a clear, nice, light yellow. It's not pea colored, so that's good.
No, it's a little, well, granted we have a green tablecloth and not very bright light here in my kitchen.
It's like a citrine.
It's a peridot.
It is.
Yeah, so that's why I wore the peridot so that I could see that, and it's very similar. Take a sniff.
Take a sniffers.
Ooh.
That's nice.
Ooh.
It's fun.
Fruit, citrus.
Way citrusy.
Super citrusy.
Hitting the front of my nose really hard.
Really?
Yeah.
Am I crazy or am I smelling oaky too?
You can smell whatever you want.
You're awesome. Right. Well,
honey, I smell you're peanut crazy. Butter.
For loving him.
Oh, an addendum to the story. Like, it's basically really cliche for the guitar player to get together with this lead vocalist. It's really cliche.
Oh, that's what you guys
did. That's like the tenor and the soprano.
Yeah, it's pretty much it.
Oh, that's adorable.
It's really cliche.
Isn't that cute?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does hit.
It's like cute. Yeah.
That's really cute, though. Did you propose on stage?
No.
I'm so thankful you didn't. Thank you.
Yeah, that'd be so weird.
I thought about it, but I didn't. No.
Great, yeah, good job.
I always feel like you're going to make that public, then you should just be turned down.
No.
Seriously, I would. Wow. Even though I didn't want to, I was like, I would, having something that personal in front of tons of people,
right.
That's just mean.
Right.
You know, our bandmate got proposed to on stage. She was in a band with her ex-husband now.
Oh, yeah. See how well that turned out?
Yeah. She felt obligated to say yes. Ouch.
Yeah.
I would have gone, you don't know me if you're doing this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I know her, so that's why I
didn't.
Here
we go.
So do we expect... I'm sorry, I didn't...
You propose on the bridge. You propose... That's what you do. You propose on the Stone Arch Bridge. And you propose in Ukrainian. That's what you do.
That was the winner.
Yes.
Wow.
That's dedication.
We got more stories. Yeah. Should we be expecting legs on white wine? Even though Scott's already been drinking his wine, and I told him I'd make fun of him. We already started drinking his wine before we did it.
It's just...
It's been a day.
It's been a day.
Yeah, but do we? I mean, because it's not really leggy, but no, I don't think it's supposed to be leggy,
so.
Is it?
I don't think it has the kind of adhesion.
Well, tell you what. Here at Screw It, we've decided that white wine does not have legs.
And if you disagree, keep it to yourself.
Or just put it in the comment section.
then I'll tell you to keep it to yourself, because I'll be commenting back. Okay.
So should we toast this puppy up?
Yes. What would you like to toast to, darling?
To wedding proposals in Ukrainian.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
lovely. That's so gross. I barfed. Oops.
Oh, the timing. You know, there's nothing like a good wine spit take. I love them myself.
So, do your sinuses feel better now?
Great.
A little neti pot action.
Whoa. Mm.
I love it.
My.
Very citrusy.
Yeah,
it's
very citrusy. Yeah.
Mm. It's nice. Yeah. I take back the oaky. I only smell oaky, but I don't taste oaky.
Yeah, you're right, though. There is a smell of oak. But I looked on the bottle and I didn't hear... I didn't see anything on the...
She's already cheating. This isn't bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen to me talk about white wine. This isn't bad.
White wine? It's not bad.
I'm going to be Tim, you're in. It's not red.
That is totally Tim, you're in, yes.
Yeah,
yes, it is.
It's not red. I mean, I get the hardcore, like, citrus, like, almost like a grapefruit kind of action.
It's not quite grapefruit. It's...
Wait, this isn't grape
more,
juice?
It's almost like lime. It's lime.
Yeah, it's like it's a very
a lemon
serious.
Or a lime.
I can catch the lime now, like on the sides and on the back. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm tasting it.
I mean, this would be really lovely on on a porch on a really hot day outside. Mm-hmm. If you're not going the beer route, if you're a whiny.
I never go the beer route.
You know, we were recently talking, my beloved and I, because we were watching the 72 most dangerous animals in Australia, which is. Hysterical in and of itself.
Only 72, that 73rd one, really not that dangerous.
Well, right now, the platypus is still on the list.
Excuse me?
Yeah, apparently the male platypus has got venomous back talons. But surprise, who knew? Well, anyways, we're watching this episode, and this guy got bit by, like, a spider or a snake. And he knew what it was. And he's like, well, I called the hospital, and I didn't think I was going to make it, so I just decided to have a beer.
Well, like, goes down your blood pressure.
Welcome to Australia. Yeah. These people have and we were laughing about it because it's like Daniel told me. He said, it's like, if I ever found you dead in the garage, you know, because you have this like infectious bite and you have a beer in your hand, I'd be so pissed off at you. I was like, honey, you would know I was murdered. Because I would have a bottle of wine. Beer involved. So I think Lana and I are in the same boat. Yeah, yes. We would definitely do wine.
I'm a beer snob, so
that's good.
Ooh,
I had a roommate who was a beer judge I like actually went through and got licensed and all that, and so he was actually
they pay for that.
Really? So he would go to state fairs and county fairs and that sort of thing, and judge beer. And he, you know, I remember he was actually training for it, and he would actually studied color. You know, what is an ale? What is the, how is that different from a porter? And not just like the basic it's an ale and porter, but like what the difference of color and taste and texture and all of that and smell. And you know, he still keeps his license up. And still,
that reminds me of like judging.
I'm like, I know. It's a great way to get
like judging dog breeds, you know?
Yeah.
Well, what is the epitome of this breed as opposed to that breed, even though they're both nice dogs?
Mm-hmm. I just like watching them run around when they're super fuzzy and you swear they don't have legs. Yeah. They look like hover dogs. Like a
flying dust mop.
We actually watch it on Thanksgiving as a family, so we can be all like, bah! just our minds over it.
Right after the parade, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Right after the parade.
Yep. And we have to watch it because it's...
Is that Westminster or is that AKC?
I don't care. I don't know. It's just, all I know is it's fuzzy dogs hovering around all over the place. And whose hair looks way nicer than mine.
And they spend more on it than we spend on ours. So
that makes sense. That's part of it.
Yep, that's...
And you don't have a handler, I'm guessing. I mean...
Well, it depends on what Daniel thinks. I'm sure he thinks that.
So, should we talk about this
one a bit? Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
I like it.
Let's talk about our scoring.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1 to 5, 1 being the lowest, 5 being the highest. 1 is, I wouldn't drink that if they were handing it out free at Renfest.
Mm.
Oh.
And we've drunk a lot of crap at Renfest, let me tell you.
We've drunk some good stuff, too.
That's true.
Number 2 is, it's like a salad dressing. Like you can put on your vinegar salad dressing, kind of. It's good.
3 is wedding-appropriate wine. If they were handing it out at a wedding, you'd drink it, it would be fine, you wouldn't remember it the next day, depending on how much you had.
Number 4, this is a bottle that we wouldn't mind drinking by ourselves, but we wouldn't feel guilty about drinking it by ourselves. Like, it's kind of one of those bottles you hide from everybody else. So it's yours.
Yes. No, I don't have another bottle of wine downstairs, honey. And 5 is...
I would tap that vintner's cask. Oh, wow. Okay.
You guys are professionals.
What?
You've done this
before.
Are
you kidding? We were both in choir, so we just had to watch each other. Like, cute, go.
Get a couple of sopranos together.
You breathe together.
We breathe together all the time.
Oh, great. Oh, great. I'm surrounded by vocalists, folks.
Oh, you poor thing. Oh, no. We're going to start singing musicals. Here we go.
We'll just make you accompany us.
So where would you sit on this one, Lana?
Oh, let's have our guests rate this.
Oh, really?
First.
You got that good of a thing? You just want to judge our guests by whatever rating they get?
Well, I would put this at a 3. I used to be really big on Pinot Grigio, and this reminds me like a easier Pinot Grigio.
That's a good description.
Mm-hmm. It's very drinkable. Not something that I would drink an entire bottle of for myself. I think it's just a little bit too hard on the tongue for that to happen. But it's lovely. It's very refreshing.
And for me, it's a little sour. And so I'd probably rate it as a 2.
Are you guys going to break up now?
No.
I just wondering if you guys are questions.
We haven't got beer at home.
Yeah, but we haven't had a breakup yet. We should really shoot for one.
That's not us.
Yeah, you're fine. No, I'd do it by a 2 because it's just a little on the sour side for me. I'm barely finishing this glass.
Oh, good. More for us. I mean,
it's so sour, so.
Aww.
Yeah. That's all right. I can deal. Yeah.
Strangely, I agree with you. I'm tasting a lot of lime, and it's making my. The back of my tongue cleave to my palate, which
but that's
I really
a white,
don't.
Though that's
not
white.
Every white.
You're
being too general.
No,
here.
I'm not. Because
yes,
I'm
you
the
are.
One who edits the podcast, and I don't.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, everybody got a finger. But no, I mean, I hear when we are drinking whites because it changes the way people talk and it gets more of those mouth noises. So whites cleave
now. I don't mind white making the front of my tongue cleave to my palate, but the back of my tongue, that's a different set of...
musculature?
No. It usually just means that it's a different taste, and I just don't like that. I don't like the feel of it. And it's barely a 2. It might be less than a 2 for me for some reason.
Oh my goodness gracious. You hate this wine.
I'm really not a fan. This is... It's like a Pinot Gris, only less.
Yeah. I mean, I actually wouldn't be pissed off if someone handed this to me at a wedding. Mm-hmm. So I'd give this a 3. Because I'd be like, oh, thank God it's not Chardonnay. Hallelujah. And I'll have a second glass if they run out of red. Which I've done that, too.
All right. Fist bump.
Well, you know what? Let's try this with some bread and olive oil. Let's try this.
If you guys want some.
Maybe I'll feel differently about it if there's some...
If there's some food action.
Usually it's only red that really changes with... You want to pass that over?
No.
Screw you.
Pass it over.
No.
Okay. You just suck 3 ways to side.
So you guys met in a band.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which is awesome. And you were lead singing it. And and Scott, you were guitaring it.
Now I'm playing a Bulgarian instrument called the tambora. So, yeah. But, yeah, basically playing stringy things.
Stringy things.
Yeah.
Things that go plink.
Yeah.
Plink.
That's him.
And we are still in that band. So we've been, I think I've been in the band for almost 6 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, yeah.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And
really? A band that's together for 6?
We've been together for 13.
I'm just saying that, who was it who famously said that every band is on the verge of breaking up? And there seems to be revolving doors in bands.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we could also call ourselves an ensemble.
In fairness, we have changed over quite a bit. Yeah. I mean, we had 5 people to start off the band in 2002, and since then, 2 of those people have left at different times, and Scott joined on when we also hired a bassist, which we hadn't had before. I was sort of the temporary bassist until Matt came on.
Yeah.
So. Was it love at first sight?
Oh, I had a total crush on her.
Really?
I had a total crush. But I was dating somebody at the time, and I'm like, no, I can't. That's not going to happen. And even after that broke up, I'm like, no, really, you should not be like having a relationship with somebody you're in a band with, because
that just never works out.
It's just, oops, oh well.
Yeah, so. Really. I mean, the night that he told me, you know, I'm sorry, I'm just really in love with you, I basically told him the same thing, I mean, in a way. It was more like, what are you gonna do about that? Sassy. But he and I both like pretty much spent the next 2 hours saying what a bad idea it would be for us to get together because we're in a band together. Yeah. Here's reason number 238, it will not work.
Yeah. And then we ended up making out.
In the middle of making out.
That's even cuter.
No, this is a bad idea.
Oh my God, I love what you do with your hands. Must be all that bass playing you've done.
But then we waited like a week, 2 weeks? No, we waited
a week to tell our band.
To tell our band, because, you know.
They were like,
oh, they already knew.
They thought we'd been dating. Okay, so we got together in May.
Yeah.
They thought we'd been dating since January. And pretty much everyone we knew thought that we were dating since January.
That's really cute.
It is cute. Yeah. We're the last ones to find out.
Yeah.
So does this wine taste any different, better, worse with like the bread and the
not
oil?
Not really.
I'm not catching anything.
I'm not even trying.
Well, yeah, we noticed. You know, yeah. Scott's already given up on his wine. He doesn't want any more.
No. I'm saving myself.
No.
This time.
It's not so much that the wine tastes different, it's that the olive oil tastes different.
I cracked Dawn up. There you go.
It's more that Scott thought the joke was so funny. It was so adorable.
It's like, oh, he's
still. Oh, he thinks he's so funny.
He's so funny.
Oh, that's
This is why I'm not a comedian, this.
Oh, no, you did good. You did a good joke. That was a good joke. So, I'm sorry.
Don't pity me.
Yeah, you've got this woman in your life. So you don't think it changes it, Natalie?
I don't think it changes the wine. I feel like the olive oil tastes a little bit more salty as a result of drinking the wine.
Interesting.
Yeah, but the wine tastes the same to me.
Yeah,
it pretty much does.
Are you disappointed, Lana?
I'm not surprised. Yeah. Oh, wait a second. Well,
are we gonna try an almond with it and see if that makes a difference?
No, I'm just hoping that the almonds will clear my palate.
Wow, this isn't the worst wine we've had on the show for you, is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
No.
I can't remember.
You guys have even had boxed wines and
but
you
stuff. Boxed wines. There are some good ones. Wine,
right? But what
even the Go-Go Red.
Oh, that was awful.
But we had Go-Go Red. Yeah. No, it was way too sweet. It was soda poppy.
You guys didn't even finish it.
No. Yeah,
we did. We took out the magic cheese. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden,
it was way better.
But what about the
petite wine? Bosque, everyone?
Yeah, the wines at the job. Phoenix. I mean, I
oh wait, is that? Oh, yeah, I'm like,
that wasn't
are you
wine.
Talking
that
about
wasn't
flip-flop.
Wine?
That, well, and it wasn't like a frozen wine product that wasn't
that's
really wine.
That's an abomination. That's, you know, that's,
but those were real wine. One was in a can, and the other was some slushy drink.
Okay, this so is, those are worse than
those most. Are worse, but, you know, like actual wine out of a bottle.
This is a bottled wine, yeah. Yes. It passes itself off as legit.
All of the stuff in the box has been better than this.
Yeah.
I'm everything in a box. Well, I'm going to make a mess.
That's your house. You can do whatever you want.
That's what, the tablecloth is really for, to catch all our spills. That and to not, so that we don't have...
clank, clank, clank. Right.
Okay, so you guys have known each other for how long now?
About... Well, since I've been in the band, so about 7 years.
Yeah. And we've been dating for about 4.5.
Although I met your sister 25 years ago.
Get out!
So, yes.
What is that about?
I worked out at the Renaissance Festival, and we had friends, we actually hung out about 25 years ago. I hung out at a bar that a lot of festies went to. You know, called the Irish Well.
After hours? Or?
Yeah, after. Okay. Well, this would be like, you know, dirt when Fest wasn't going on.
Right, okay.
And people,
and people still needed to hang out with their festies.
Yeah,
with their
basically, people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, okay. You know, there's a place called the Irish Well in St. Paul. It's around from about early 90s. And
is it still there?
No. It's now Menards. It's been Menards for like 20 years.
You guys should all go to Menards.
Yeah.
Here's
where it started.
Just like with your instruments. And just
but
like
first time I met her sister, I'm like, I remember you. I remember you from 25 years ago. And I could tell her like who all the people were that were, you know, sitting next to her in the booth that she would like hung out at. And was like, okay. So small world.
That was. You
know, it is small.
Yeah.
No.
Wouldn't want to paint it. But
I don't like painting.
You'd have to prime first, and that would suck.
Oh, yeah. The that priming. Could you imagine how long that would take?
Agreed.
No. Oh, okay. So, Natalie, you do mostly vocal music.
I do.
And it's like you also compose, right?
I do. Yeah, I do a lot of musical things. So I grew up in a Ukrainian family, and so folk music was always a part of my life, Ukrainian folk music. But then my grandmother was also an opera singer and a teacher at MacPhail Center for Music. And so she was my first teacher. I was initially classically trained.
My first voice teacher was a McFailure as well, as
really?
She liked to say. Yeah.
McFailure!
She called herself a McFailure.
Wow. That's awesome.
So yes. Go on.
Yeah, yeah, so please. most of my life has been around Eastern European folk music. I've become kind of an expert on Eastern European vocal techniques. But in the meantime, I've also picked up a lot of different instruments. So like in the band that Scott and I are in, I play percussion.
I have such an 8th grade thing to say right now. She said, I picked up a lot of instruments. She points at Scott.
I'm going to sit here and drink my water.
That's the biggest instrument.
Yeah.
You are a 13-year-old
boy.
Wow.
I am.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yay.
My biggest brag on Natalie is that she sings it.
Sorry.
Oh, wow. Wow, you're just picking up on all the nuances of all this.
We had a little wine with our dinner.
My biggest compliment about Natalie is that she's actually she actually sings in 40 different languages.
50.
Excuse me, 50 languages. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I could enumerate 50 languages.
Can you do a happy birthday in 50 different languages right now?
No. Well, I can do many years in a couple of them.
Just hear it.
Which is the same thing as
great.
Happy birthday. Okay, so Ukrainian, there are like a million different versions, but the Ukrainian one that I really like is Mnohaya lita, mnohaya lita, mnohaya lita, mnohaya lita, mnohaya lita, mnohaya lita, mnohaya
fun. That is.
Yeah. And it's got four-part harmony to it, so it's got a whole bunch of stuff going. I mean,
yeah, you get an entire room full of people screeching it out.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah.
Oh, that
sounds village style. Yeah, all that
good stuff. A little YMCA happens.
Different village. That's a different village. That's
they all have people.
Yeah, they all have people. And they all sing. I don't see what the difference is in any of those.
That's so cool. And then you also do different vocal styles, is that correct? Is that the correct terminology?
Yeah, that's what I say. I mean, you know,
there's vocal techniques.
There are vocal techniques. Right. The music that I focus on is folk music of people from Eastern Europe, and there's, you know, different techniques that you use in the mountains versus in the plains versus in the valleys versus if you're primarily an agrarian culture versus if you're going with, you know, an aristocratic sort of city style. So, you know, those are all things that I incorporate into my work.
And stuff, it's also regional too. So it's going to be a region of Romania as opposed to a northern region of Bulgaria as opposed to a southern region of Bulgaria. So
right. It's dialect singing.
There are. I mean, just that, you get that specific.
Yeah.
And,
you know. Or if there's, you know, an ethnic group that is in a different country that, you know, like Transylvania, you know, is a great example of, you know, it's primarily ethnic Hungarian, but it's in Romania, and so the music is really different in that little pocket of Romania versus the rest of Romania or even the rest of Hungary. You know, so it's little things like that.
But it must be, like, wonderfully challenging in all the right ways. So we challenge her, Lana?
So fun.
Let's challenge her.
Oh, yes.
So Natalie gets to read the tasting notes of our whatever this bottle is called.
Excellent.
You have to do it.
Okay.
From the envelope of funny voices.
Oh, excellent.
Or
she can do it in one of the Slavic accents.
Oh,
whoa.
That sounds super exciting.
That sounds...
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's
go with the theme here.
Let's do it.
Yep. All right. I might drop some articles then. Okay.
Oh, God.
And would tell us which one you're choosing.
This is going to be kind of a pan... Eastern Slavic.
I think she's making this up.
No, this is going to be like, it'll be like a, you know, Eastern Ukrainian, Western Russian. Let's do that. Okay.
We will judge if you're accurate.
With soft lemon, lime, citrus flavor, lighter, fresher structure, and clean, refreshing finish, this attractive wine style is great alternative to Sauvignon Blanc or Riesling. Serve slightly chilled, an ideal accompaniment to fresh seafood, antipasto, and white meat dishes.
That was so cool. I kind of want to still make her do another
voice. We've got another bottle.
Yeah, and then like have to do it still in an accent, but with a funny voice.
She will do that too. Yes.
All right. Okay, so here's the deal. I got two bottles. I couldn't choose, so I'm going to make you do a blind choose. So yes, and we're super chilling them, and yes. Woo! Doppler effect.
As we go over to the freezer.
Russell at the Foley table here.
Plump. And none of these are frozen wine products, so you guys are safe.
We're just getting them chilled. So.
Okay, are you gonna make them close?
This one on my right, or this one on my left? Choose right or left. You can't see them. There's a big paper. There's paper bags over them.
This is the most interesting choice.
On my left.
Sure. What are we drinking?
We are drinking Chateau Saint-Michel Gewürztraminer.
Oh, is this the expensive one?
No. Sorry. The other one is twice as expensive.
Right.
Excellent.
All right.
Excellent. So, there you go. So.
Save the most expensive for last.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's best yet. But.
So, here's the deal. I have people in my family. Yes, I'm French and Italian. Some of the people... Let's call them Midwestern drinkers or non-drinkers. But this is a wine that we had even yesterday at Thanksgiving. And my sister is not a drinker. And she had some of it and liked it.
What?
So this is one of the wines, I wouldn't call it terribly complex, but it's interesting because almost everybody enjoys it.
Well,
but if you don't enjoy it, that's a different... Well, then we'll have a story.
So it's like a Disney movie. Not terribly complex, but everybody enjoys it.
I don't really care for Disney.
So you might not like this wine.
So that would suck. That would really super suck.
If you don't
two in a row.
Wow.
Well, we've had some of those.
Yeah, we've had some shows where we're like, oh my God, we hated both of these.
And if we hate both of them, then there's usually some backup wine somewhere.
Oh, there's always backup wine somewhere.
Well, especially in our house.
Is it red?
Oh,
there we go. Hey.
And then, top it off.
See, that's a good sound.
That's a better sound.
You know, I think it's the shape of the bottle.
We'll just judge the wine by its sound. I'd give that a 4.5.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? I'm giving it a 5 because it's going in my glass right now. Yeah, any wine going in my glass?
It's a 5. Right. That's pretty close to the Wellheim screen.
No, this seems to be brighter. Is it brighter to
it is,
you guys?
It is brighter, yes.
I don't know what brighter means.
It's a little yellower.
It's yellower.
I think. Okay.
It's lighter in color.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Less cloudy.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that's what brighter means. Or maybe
you know what?
What?
I swear, does that have a leg too?
Yeah.
It does.
I think white wine does have legs.
Well, here in Skirt,
we've decided that white wine can have legs.
We've decided so the rest of the world must follow.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious it has legs.
All right, well, let's take a sniff, shall we?
Take a sniffy sniffy.
Oh,
it's floral.
Quite a bit sweeter.
Isn't
it lovely?
Oh, it's...
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sweeter.
It's definitely sweeter. I still get this like floral kind of feeling.
I get a honey tone from it.
Oh,
a
yeah.
little honey, maybe mm-hmm. a little apple, mm-hmm. maybe mm-hmm. even apple. A little orange blossom.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that mm-hmm. must be the flower I'm getting.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, I can't, and I have to taste now.
Yeah.
I had some yesterday, but.
Here's to meeting people we love through performance groups.
Yes.
All right.
Awesome.
Because I think that's how we've all met those we are in
Absolutely,
love with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised that I like this.
Really?
Because I've had Gewurztraminers before, but they have not been that good.
Yeah, this one.
What style is this?
Gewurztraminer.
Okay.
I call it a Gewurz because it's too long to say.
It's Columbia Valley, so it's a Washington wine, which we all know Washington wines are my favorite.
No.
But obviously, I'm going to make a big sound.
Make a joyful noise.
So
the angels have
songs.
Thanks,
that
was
You're
so
welcome.
Great.
Oh. So it's on sale at Big Top
mm-hmm.
for the holidays. $5.99, kids.
Get out!
$5.99. I picked it up and went, you know, I want to spend more on our guests, but I know that this is a good wine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I got another one so that you could choose.
I think it's delicious. I mean, this is like kind of up there with what I always bring for my holiday stuff is that I do the red velvet from Cupcake.
Mm, nice.
She wore red.
Exactly. Yeah, because
velvet.
Because red velvet will always do what you need it to do. And it's like, if you get on sale, it's like $6 a bottle. So, but that is lovely.
Isn't it?
That is
and so usually it's so it's a dollar off right now.
That's still a $7 bottle in general?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
At Big Top.
At Big Top, yeah.
I rarely spend more than $10 on a bottle.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can get so
you
many
don't need
great
to.
Wines
yeah.
for under $10.
Yeah, you don't need to spend
well,
more.
Well, and that's... Mm-hmm. I really wanted something where I'll bring a bottle of wine for my family, let's see if they like it,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing.
Oh, that's delicious. See, now, I just realized why I picked up my wine, the Tyrells, because I'm a Game of Thrones fan. And also, I'm like... That's why I bought it.
I have to say, I gave up on Game of Thrones. I was reading it first.
Reading it.
And I got halfway through the first book, and I was just so angry. It's like,
oh.
You make me care about these people,
mm-hmm.
and then you just keep killing them or destroying, or you start killing the wolves for no apparent reason other than a wolf did something. Oh, I was so angry. I just put down the book and said, I'm done.
It's like a J.J. Abrams movie.
Mm.
He always kills off the best character.
Yeah.
Star Trek.
Or the dog.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
Not always. So the first... The reboot was good. Into Darkness was not worth the time. Okay, I've said it. Go ahead and argue with me.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Actually, we agree on that one. But you know what? That's okay. We can agree to disagree.
And we can agree to drink this.
And we can agree that Ricardo Montalban is the best con that would ever be on the planet.
Agreed. Yeah, I just couldn't do it when Spock did the con moment.
Oh, it
was
so
like,
obvious.
I laughed, actually, that
I laughed. It was so obvious that he was trying not to laugh.
Yeah.
Like, it's so bad.
I mean, as the actor, I'd be like, I am getting paid to do this right now.
Yeah. Awesome!
That would make me so happy. So, Scott, you write and you compose as well.
Yes.
And you do it for independent films.
I do it for independent films, for for podcasts. I've written for radio. I think KFAI used one of the pieces I wrote for their newscast. There was a film that you were in, mm-hmm. Dawn.
That's when we met.
Where we met through,
a million years ago.
Through Curse of Yeg, and had a great time doing that.
That was cool.
Also did the, I think they still are using the music. I did transition music for CVG-TV. That's that... dun, 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 dun. Basically, mm-hmm. whenever the Connie mm-hmm. emblem comes up and there's that music, that's I wrote that.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
10, 15 seconds of fame right there.
Hey, so, Lana, he writes podcast music. Let's give him a chat.
You know, yeah, I was going to say, we've been after Chad for a couple of years.
Chad's slow.
Yeah.
I love you, Chad.
We love you, Chad.
We love you, Chad. But you have not come across for us.
Sister, you got to get on it.
that's really amazing. So, I didn't realize you... Okay, so when you do compose, what genre do you compose in? Do you compose on a computer? Do you compose on a keyboard?
Oh, it really depends on... I mean, also, a lot of what I do now is concentrating on solo guitar, solo, finger-picking style, that sort of thing. So I sometimes... But if I'm working on a project, like somebody says, hey, we want you to like come up with some music for this piece of footage or that, it really depends on what it is. So it's kind of like a case by case. You know, sometimes I will work strictly, like if it needs electronic music, I'll start on the key on the computer. Other times I'll like try and figure out a melody or whatever. So it's pretty much based on whatever project is. It's on a project-by-project
basis.
Is it
all instrumental music, or do you also do compose for voice?
Well, mostly it's been instrumental music, but funny you should ask that.
Oh, my God.
There's a story.
Was it a really good question?
It's a good question because I am currently working on a musical.
No way.
No way.
Yes.
Which one?
So it's called Black Death the Musical.
Is that for Dougie?
No, this is not. This is actually through a woman named Susan Worley, who... wrote a, she's a first-time playwright, and...
I'm going to go straight into a musical.
And
life isn't hard enough.
Let me give you the elevator speech. So it's basically, the plot line is, it's a darkly comic musical based on taking place in 15th century France, in the Middle East.
I see the comedy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
hilarious. Many pratfalls in the mud.
Well, what happens is you have the guy who discovered how to cure the plague.
Right.
And it's about his journey to meet with the Pope to try and figure out a way to cure the plague. In the meantime, he runs into a novice and a nun who are on their way escaping from the plague from their convent, and it's about their adventures together. On their adventures, they meet an alchemist, and the son of the alchemist falls in love with the novice. He gets the plague, dies, and the alchemist reanimates him.
Okay. This sounds like this is a two-act show.
Yes.
This does not sound like Fringe.
But that's just the plot. The music, I'm actually basing on two different styles. I'm actually doing the vocals and the melodies based on 15th and 16th century Italian madrigals and French chansons. That's the vocal melodies, and that's the style everybody will be singing in. However, the music itself will be based on the style of Tom Waits and Nick Cave. So I'm combining two things together.
That sounds...
Head just exploded.
We just did a live demo of three of the songs that we've written at Phoenix Theater and got a really great response. We did an Indiegogo campaign that finished about a week ago, and we raised $5,000.
Oh, congratulations.
We're looking to do the production in October of 2016.
Wow.
So... location to be announced. And
do you need support?
Yes,
talk about the auditions. Auditions will be in the spring, folks.
Yeah, but that sounds really... I mean, actually sounds musically challenging,
yes.
Which is one of the reasons why I don't do musicals, because I'd rather vomit.
Thank you, me too.
Well, and also the roles, the acting for a soprano is just...
We have to put air quotes around acting. Please, I mean, ingenues make me want to die.
Right. I'm not 18 anymore. Praise the goddess for that one.
Yeah. but yeah, most of the soprano roles are just direct. And I've just always... It's like, why couldn't I be born a mezzo? Life would be so much better.
and the nice thing about this is it's a comedy. It's a dark comedy, but it's still going to be a comedy. So there's like... And there's an arch... there's a weird way that the play has been written, so it's not going to be like a straight up dramatic thing. It's going to be a bit closer to Sweeney Todd.
Good
way. So
okay.
So it's going to have this sort of like arch dialogue with a sort of not necessarily a wink to the audience, but certainly it's not going to be a straight up. It's not going to be a straight dramatic play. But then you have this music that's kind of like in the back of it, and it's a challenge.
Where's it going to go with that?
We don't know yet. But the name of the production company is Dark Alchemy Productions, and so we're kind of
imagine there being an alchemist in it.
Right? So here's the cool thing is that, okay, so Natalie is now a touring member of Rose Ensemble, which deals with a lot of early music. Mm-hmm. And so basically for my research and a lot of this, I've got some of my own material to work through, but, stuff that she gets, to rehearse on and go like, hey, I'm hearing you do, listen to this piece of music. Can you send that piece of music over to me too so I can analyze it and figure it out so I can come up with songs. Ideas and stuff.
I'm just thinking of my early medieval and Renaissance music history class early on in my undergrad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's like,
me too.
Wow.
That sounds like really interesting.
Yeah, so it's actually the first time I've really written for vocals in general, so it is a challenge for me. As opposed to Natalie, who writes strictly, mostly for vocals. And
just do
something.
Us all a favor.
So, yeah.
Do not have a song start on a high A with a pianissimo. Because whenever I see that in music, I'm like, a guy arranged it. Oh, if I'm right. I'm...
You gave me an idea.
No!
Because, I'll help you.
Yeah. Because, doesn't that just kill you when you look at music and you're like,
it's a little frustrating.
Like, well, that's true, want me to do a what?
There's a soprano that's doing a lot of coloratura sort of in the lower passaggio.
Yeah.
It's like, do you know where that sits in the voice?
Right.
Yeah.
It's just
but that's
silly.
True of any music. If you are not the person who doesn't play that instrument, your job is to research so that you know what's going to work well within the instrument. I mean, basically, if you write a piece of music, okay, I'm going to write this one page, this 1 minute piece or whatever, your job as a composer is to find out, okay, well, I just wrote this. I'm going to give this to somebody else who plays clarinet, French horn, as an alto, as a soprano. Mm-hmm. I mean, actually, that was kind of the research. That was kind of the stuff I actually end up having to do anyway when I was writing these songs, is putting them in front of vocalists. And they go like, that's a little high. Can you lower it? I'm like, sure.
But you're already unique in that one, Scott, because you're actually willing to change what you wrote.
Which is sad, because really, if you're a composer, but you're working with performers and you're not familiar with the instruments, you should be willing to at least make some some sacrifices to make it work, right?
When you had to play basically fiddle when it was below 30 and you're I need to stop and warm up my hands for
that happened.
A moment.
So Dawn and I were working on a film, and there was there was a scene in there, and it was basically a square dance in this small cabin, but the cabin is... The filming was in the middle of January?
No, it was Valentine's Day weekend.
February, that's right.
And it was an actual historical village, so the cabin had no heat.
It had
no insulation,
heat.
No anything. Yeah. It's like, these people, how did they all not die?
So they heated up the cabin, in between, shots, but when you guys were shooting the film, you had to turn the heat off. And then they had me doing the music live.
Which was beautiful.
Yeah. And I had to actually put a metronome in my ear. Yeah, basically, I took a metronome, and I put an earpiece into the metronome, and I put it in my ear. So basically, if they were editing it, it was always in tempo. So
nice.
I basically was playing fiddle in tempo, and every time that they could sync up the
very smart.
The music.
That is brilliant. I mean, with all the on-camera stuff I've done, I've never even, heard or even whatever. It's
not a lot of people. Not a lot of people.
What
think
did
about
the cold do to the wood of your instrument?
Well, never mind the wood. I couldn't film after about 20 minutes of filming. I basically went Paul, to the director. Paul, can you turn on the heater? Why? I can't feel my fingers.
My
fingers were blue. I can't feel my fingers. And give me about 15 minutes before I can do this again. So
Well, it's interesting though because I played flute. But that's metal, and when you have a sopranos and flute, it's a thing.
That's adorable, you two.
But when you have an organic you know, when you have wood, that has moisture in it. And so it expands and contracts, and that would make me very nervous to have a wooden instrument in that kind of cold.
They say that you're not supposed to play in temperatures less than 58 degrees in general, just for the fingers. Never mind the instruments, just for the fingers.
You don't want it to crack.
Well, exactly. But I've also heard, and maybe you guys can answer this, totally off topic, I've heard that like when... like concert cellists or something along the lines, when they actually get a Stradivarius or something along the lines, that they work the instrument for a few months before they actually perform with it because they need to coax their sound out of the instrument. How they can change the sound the instrument produces. I was like, what?
Well, and also if the instrument hasn't been played for a while, it needs to start resonating again.
Yeah, and I thought, interesting.
I think it makes sense for a stringed instrument because strings change. You know, you need to stretch them out when you put new strings on. The intonation is going to change. You have to keep on tuning it. You have to keep on playing it until they've sort of settled into the instrument. So I wonder if that has anything to do with it.
Yeah, it also has to do with the if you're a classical performer and there's a lot of preparation, a lot of like discipline that's involved and in classical performance. And there's also like they're talking about minutiae, so they're talking about like how is my bowing going to be different on this instrument as opposed to that instrument. So there's it's dealing with minutiae as opposed to we play folk music, so it's like
it's almost in tune.
It's almost in tune.
Or you're
they'll be drinking, or
it doesn't matter.
Or if I'm doing like an improv show, it's sort of like okay, it's sort of in tune. Whatever, just go with it. Or playing jazz or whatever. So there's less of that. Less of that mentality involved with like trying to do prep for everything and trying to like figure out every single
kind of precision.
That's a good way to look at it. I mean, I don't even know what I would do if for some reason someone handed me an instrument of that quality. I'd be like,
don't anybody touch me because I might drop it.
I might do the bass line for Iron Man. I might do I might do that.
You would have to do that over and over. Basically, like whenever like someone called you, you would have to do
that. I think two cellos might do that.
I might do White Room.
Yeah. Understandable.
So, Natalie, when you compose, do you compose like on a computer or? I mean, everyone
keyboard
does it
or...
completely different.
I, for the most part, I like to compose with my voice. I usually record myself because I think fastest that way, and I'm really big on harmony. Mm. Harmony has always been something that I've been fascinated by and something
it's
that
beautiful.
Has been a part of my life.
I was just listening with some of my my nieces today. We were like, pentatonic? That's
I was just watching their thing on Netflix. That
and
was really interesting.
We were listening to their Christmas album. I'm like... Mm-hmm. I miss another female. I mean, they're good.
Yeah.
I enjoy it, but it's like
there's
only one woman in it.
Although
some
of the tenors are high.
Well,
So, I mean, but it's a different color.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's like I like them, but I miss it. So anyways, when you're like working with harmonies.
Yeah, I like to just lay down whatever the melody is that I have in my mind, and then I play around with harmonies. I actually go back and record it over like kind of GarageBand or something else.
Okay.
Just something that's really quick.
I was gonna ask you.
Just to throw out some ideas and start shaping a structure.
Mm-hmm.
It's very rare that I'll actually write down a composition before I'll actually sing it or I'll play it. Sometimes I'll play it on a piano, but I'm really fastest with my voice. And then I check it out, you know, depending on how the music is intended to be, you know, what the final product is, who's going to be playing it, who's going to be singing it. You know, that's when I'll modify things like key and you know, whether this particular passage might be difficult, let's say, you know, for a weird string crossing on a stringed instrument. But you know, I've done so little work for instruments, for man-made instruments versus for the voice that, I generally don't have to worry about that so much, but I wind up layering sometimes 6 or 7 harmonies.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
That would make me so happy.
Yeah.
Well, there's something so, what's the word I want? Intimate.
Mm-hmm.
About singing really rich harmonies with other people.
Yeah.
That's really wonderful.
And it like clicks together. It's like Lego blocks. I mean, you know you're wrong, but you know when you're right. It's just it's a physical solid feel to me, yeah.
Right?
And I'm fascinated by the process. I'm fascinated by the way that, you know, that she works and how that layers together. On the other hand, and this actually expands a little bit of what you were asking me before, what I end up doing, I end up like working from some sort of baseline. I'm not necessarily working with harmonics so much as texture. So I'm dealing with, like, you know, beats, or I'm dealing with a bass line, or I'm dealing with a chordal harmonic structure where it's basically based on a piano or some sort of string patch or whatever. And then I layer those on top of each other. So I'm working with the arrangement more than any sort of harmonic thing. And then I work in the harmonies a little bit around that, and sort of like going from zero to, you know, working from a blank page. We're both fascinated by each other's process.
Well, obviously.
Because, you know, now I'm having to deal with the way that she works because of working in, you know, with the musical, I have to think of the melody first. That's primary. It's not always been my primary thing. A lot of the times I'm working with, here's a beat, here's a boom, you know, and I work off of the beat, and I like fly off of that. Or I'm working off of a rhythm that I'm playing on guitar. Like, I wrote a guitar piece recently within the last year that's going from, like, it's doing a 7 and 5. It's like it's a 12 beat thing, but it's in 7 and 5 meters, and then it goes into 4, and then it goes back into a 7, and then kind of works around that way. But we work from different places, you know, a lot of times. But, you know, it's like,
well, we draw inspiration from different places too.
Right.
I mean, so much of your work has been soundtrack based. Like, you really look at production. Mm-hmm. Like, we've talked about how we listen to music, or how we grew up listening to music.
Right.
Scott listened to music growing up in his headphones, and so he could hear the production so much better than me listening through a stereo.
Yep.
For me, I'm more paying attention to the structure of the song or the harmonies or whatever.
Yeah, for me, it's like, you know, there's a high point of, like, listening to on the radio. Like, here's a bad example, but a really good example. U2's Mysterious Ways has a section in the bridge where it, like, the guitars drop out, and it's just like boom, and it's just like all this bass, and then, like, Bono sings a little during the bridge, and then he goes back into the chorus, and when you hear the chorus in the headphones, the guitar faders come up left and right, like, around the 3-minute mark, and when you figure that out, the hair on your it's really geeky, folks.
But
it gets into that sort of production, but it starts off using production as a tool for composition. So I do use that.
And now you're writing for a musical. And if they aren't humming the song when they're walking out, you failed.
Right. But we got a laugh. We got a couple laughs out of one of the songs that we did. And that gave me, like, okay, because I go off of two things. Or actually go off of three things, don't we? You usually want to make them cry. So
that's my big goal. Whenever I perform.
Yeah. They gotta cry, they gotta laugh, or they gotta dance. Yeah. Or, you know.
See, that's my criterion for a standing ovation. Yeah. If you didn't make me cry or laugh uncontrollably, my butt's in the seat. I don't care if it's Minnesota.
Oh, see, for me, for me, it's like, if I wish I were dead because I wasn't in that show with you.
if I'm not dying of jealousy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if I'm just like, oh, God, where was I during those auditions? Yeah, then,
so let's talk about the harmony of this one.
Nice segue.
This is your third glass.
No, it's not.
These are small glasses. There we go. Just a splash. Okay. So from 1 to 5, 1 being the worst thing on earth. And then 5 being, you would do the vintner. Scott, you go first.
This is my second glass on it, but I would still give it a 3 because I'll be honest, I'm not a huge white wine fan, and it's got to be really, really dry for me to really dig it.
Wow.
And this is sweeter than I like, but it's still got that dryness, which I would certainly drink this with a turkey dinner or a chicken dinner and that sort of thing, even fish.
I'd probably drink this with chips and salsa too.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'd give it probably a 3.5, which would be high on the white wine scale for me. So
that's legit.
Yeah.
So I didn't know we could do more than whole numbers.
Of course.
Excellent. See, I would also go for 3.5. I liked it a little bit better than the Semillon that we had earlier. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more apple-y. I agree with you. It has a sweetness to it, but it's not cloying like a Riesling. It's very refreshing. It's very drinkable. I feel like I could drink it by myself or drink it on its own.
It's like a sipping wine.
It's a sipping wine, I've or when we're really...
I can drink everything by myself. Keep it coming.
Or, you know, it would go really well with a dinner, so... Myself. Yeah. But it's not quite enough for me to want to have an entire bottle.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I absolutely agree. 3.5. Mm-hmm. I really like it. I could not drink this all day long.
I did, but...
Well,
but it was a holiday. But I was not the only one drinking it, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think it's lovely. I think this is a wine I'd happily take to our next family event. My mother would totally get hammered on this. So,
yeah, that would be...
You know what? In and of itself.
My mom would get hammered on this stuff.
She's great hammered.
So my mother always drinks, like, a Riesling. In fact, the sweeter the better.
With ice cubes in it.
The fact that she's French and Italian just slays me.
Oh, my God.
But as so, we started with the Riesling, and then we opened this up, and even my sister said, "Oh, this is smoother than the Riesling."
Yeah, I'm really surprised at this for Hubert's.
This is probably one of my favorite inexpensive white wines. Mm. It's just sort of
hands down.
It doesn't annoy you in any particular way.
Yeah,
it goes with a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. So everybody, buy a bottle to bring to your family gathering.
Right. Did you rate it? And I wasn't listening.
I didn't actually give a number.
Oh, okay.
I'm thinking. 3.5 works for me for a white.
Oh, wow. Exactly. For a white, this is one of the better ones out there.
Yeah, other than a Prosecco, you know, which of course is
awesome.
Do we have tasting notes on that one? It looks like we do.
A little bit.
Looks like we have enough. Okay, but let's do envelope of funny voices and an accent.
Excellent.
Okay.
And it has to be a different accent.
A different accent.
It doesn't have to be Eastern European anymore, does it?
But you have to pick from the envelope of funny voices.
Okay.
So you're doing...
She might be able to do one.
Yeah, I'm sure she can.
Morning talk show host.
No. Can I add something?
Okay. Yes.
From South Park.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I like this game.
Aguavit Mino is sourced from selected in world class vineyards of the Columbia Valley. With new world fruit intensely in an elegant old world style, this wine is crafted to be aromatic, spicy, and delicious. With a hint of clove, spice, and
finish. Say that again. Say that last part.
The aromatic part, yes.
With new world fruit intensity in an elegant old world style, this wine is crafted to be aromatic, spicy, and luscious. With a hint of clove spice on the finish. Luscious.
Nicely done.
I've never cried before.
I guess like if it's anyone else.
Okay, yeah, I was totally jealous of that too. Okay, so we had two bottles of wine. We had Marjorie Terrell's wine
and
the winery.
How much did you spend on
it? I spent $14 on
it. No shit.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That was, sorry.
Anyway, well, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And then we had the Chateau Saint-Michel Gewürztraminer, which is totally German.
Yeah.
And
Columbia Valley.
Washington, I mean, between the two, which one would you drink most of? I think we already know the answer, the Saint-Michel. Yeah.
Surprisingly,
the Saint-Michel. Yeah, the Saint-Michel, I definitely think it's the better of the two wines.
Well, I did bring the one that I was pretty sure people...
Yeah, and nice. I just randomly grabbed a bottle going, I've never had this before, so...
Well, and the other one that we did not have, I just randomly grabbed it,
really?
So...
I know that one's good, because I know what that one is. Mom! So we're going to pick the wrong wine, you guys. So, Natalie, you have something opening on December 4th?
I do, yes. Yeah. So, I composed a bunch of pieces. There's kind of a long story and a short story. I'm going to try to give you the short story of it. My great-grandmother, who immigrated from Ukraine, she wrote... She was a poet, and she compiled a book of poetry in 1978 that I always thought it would be really cool to set some of those to music and create some Ukrainian folk songs out of these poems.
Oh.
So it's something that I've had in my mind for a while, and I wrote an artist initiative grant for that, and I got it from the Minnesota State Arts Board.
Wow.
Thank you. So this thing on December 4th is the culmination of that grant project. So all year I've been working on composing pieces to various poems from her compilation. There are 13 of them that I wrote. Technically 14, but I wrote the 14th one earlier. And they're in various styles. You know, I was saying earlier how I've been inspired by a lot of different kinds of music in my life. So not all of the music sounds traditional Ukrainian. There are certainly some songs that do. There's another one that sounds like it's straight out of the Rhodope Mountains in Bulgaria. There's another one that is super bluegrassy. There's one that Scott thought sounded like the first, possibly the first Ukrainian Appalachian gospel song. You know, so there's a huge range of influences in this music. But I'm premiering it with Mila Vocal Ensemble, which is a women's Eastern European a cappella ensemble that I used to sing with and direct.
Where is that going to be at what time?
It's going to be at McPhail Center for Music, which is where my grandmother taught. And it's her mother's poetry that I've composed too. So there's, kind of a big connection there. It's at 7 o'clock on Friday, December 4th. It should be a fairly short show, just one act, and we'll do a Q&A afterward. And
how much does it cost to get in?
$10 to get in the door.
And the reception, does it have wine?
The reception will not have wine. No, it's going to be non-alcoholic.
Okay.
But it'll be Eastern European. It'll be some really good meats and cheeses from Eastern Europe.
Meats and
bread.
Cheese,
and I'm also creating songbooks of these pieces, because one of the things that I really wanted to do with this project was to create some singable pieces that non-Ukrainian choirs would be interested in incorporating into their world music programs.
Nice.
So I realized...
That's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, some of them might be a little bit too weird or a little bit too complex for a choir that's not used to Eastern European folks singing, but some of it I think is very accessible and hopefully interesting. I mean, I think I came up with a really good variety of stuff.
That's exciting. And you're also, Scott, doing something on the 12th with this project.
Yes, well, not with this project.
With
something that I'm actually, I recently became involved with an Irish band called the Sweet Colleens. I did a couple of festivals with them over the summer, and we dig each other a lot. So they were having me involved with a new album that they're recording in January. So, but in the meantime, I'll be performing... doing my premiere performance with them at Kieran's on December 12th.
That's the
Saturday.
Perfect place to do it.
So, and they're
the most Irishy of places.
Yes,
indeed.
And they're kind of the premier Irish band in the cities, and really great guys. So there's that, and then on December 17th, OBI, our band we will be celebrating our 5th anniversary of performing at the Black Dog in St. Paul. We've been doing a third Thursday performance since 2010, I believe. So starting in December of 2010, and so we're doing a big, huge bash. 7:30 to 9:30 is a free show, so you can come in. And it's family friendly.
What?
We are inviting the Mila Vocal Ensemble to come in and perform with us. One of the members of the Brass Messengers is coming in and playing a few songs with us. There's a couple other guest artists who are going to be coming in, so it's going to be a big, huge,
including one of our founding members.
Including one of our
family
members.
Awesome.
So it'll be pretty big, pretty packed. So that's Thursday, December 17th, 7:30 to 9:30.
That's incredible. And sadly, Lana and I can't go to any of it because we're doing Klingon Christmas Carol.
We open on the 3rd.
Yeah, but we're excited for you guys. That sounds really awesome.
Yeah.
So this is Screwit's first white wine show. I don't know if we'll ever do another one, but
I'd give it a 3.75.
But we should do one just of Prosecco.
That has to be a brunch recording.
I'll listen to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've been listening to us talking about fabulous white wines, Terrell's wine, something that I can't pronounce.
The Semillon.
Yeah, and then Lana brought something good.
Chateau Saint-Michel, Gewürztraminer.
And you are here with Dawn.
And Lana.
And Natalie.
And Scott.
And you're listening to Screw It, a podcast about wine. Wine improves with age.
We improve with wine.
We thought we would talk about our next show, but we don't know where/when it's happening yet. So it's going to be like a holiday Christmas present when you find out.
Absolutely. Our gift to you.
Theme song. This is our theme song.
Theme song. We really need a theme song.
Theme song. Theme song. It's such a great theme song.
Thank you.
This was, boy, we really got, our music nerd on. I mean, we usually don't get to be as nerdy.
This is our household.
Oh.
I love that you're both musicians.
And the mic's still on.
This stuff.
I think I'll turn it off now.
All right, thanks.
Okay.